Thanks to everyone for coming out this Sunday afternoon in Spanish Fork, Utah. Thanks to those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by emailing us at utahchristianists@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristianists.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class, become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today our topic is blessing your future. We are where we are today partially because of the words that we speak about ourselves. Words are like seeds. When you speak something out, you give life to what you're saying, and if you continue to say it, eventually it becomes a reality. Whether you realize it or not, you're prophesying your future. And that's great when you go around saying, I'm special, I'm unique, I've got a contribution to make that nobody else can make. I was created for a great purpose, and I'm going to fulfill it. Unfortunately, today, too many people go around making dire predictions over themselves. I never get the breaks, I always get the short end of the stick. I'll probably get laid off, I'm just average, just a C student, I'll never get into shape. They don't realize that they're calling in defeat, mediocrity, bad breaks, and lack. It is said that you eat the fruit of your words. When you talk, you're planting seeds. And sooner or later, those seeds will bear fruit. You're going to have to eat that fruit. I think you'd all agree with me that we'd rather eat sweet than bitter fruit. Therefore, make sure that the seeds that you're planting are good seeds. If you want to eat apples or oranges, don't plant the seeds of cactus, mushroom, or poison ivy. Nelson Mandela, who fought apartheid in South Africa and who spent almost 30 years in prison, knew the power of words. He said, "It is never my custom to use words lightly. If 27 years in prison has taught me anything, it was to use the silence of solitude to make us understand how precious words are, and how real speech is in its impact on the way people live and die." Words are the power of God, and we don't have any right to misuse them. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "I am the sacred syllable, Om." In our own tradition, we have the statement, "In the beginning was the Word, which was Om." And the Word was God. Krishna used this word, Om, to create everything. Om is just one short word, and yet it has so much shakti, so much power, that out of that, millions and millions of worlds were created. Keeping this in mind, let us use responsibly the creative power of speech. We are in God's image mostly because of the power that we have with words. They do more than just convey information. The power of words can destroy someone else's spirit. It can stir up hatred, violence, and even start wars. They not only exacerbate wounds, but they inflict them directly. Of all the creatures on this planet, only man has the ability to communicate through the spoken word. The power to use words is a powerful and unique gift from God. I heard this quote recently. "Careless, loose, and inordinate speech is a characteristic of our extrovert and restless civilization. We do not understand the value of deliberate and careful speech because we are ignorant of the source of this precious faculty and totally unaware of the power of the spoken word. Our speech is too often impulsive and hence thoughtless and meaningless. Much of the confusion and turmoil of our world today is reflected in our irresponsible use of speech. But the reverse is equally true. Our foolish and wrong use of words adds to the prevailing confusion and is a major factor in creating tensions and bringing about misunderstandings. We are divided today through words.
If we could, on the other hand, purify and control our speech, we would tone up our moral fiber, improve our character, and thus become better able to seek solutions for the numerous problems that we're facing. Concluding, all who dream, raise your hand if you do, all who dream of a better world should watch our words, which either save us or damn us. For anyone aspiring to live a higher spiritual life, control of speech is a sine qua non. All the great transcendentalists have enjoined the purification and restraint of speech. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna is a name for God. In Sanskrit, it means all attractive. Rama is another name for God, which means the highest pleasure absolute. And Hare is a way of addressing the Lord. What I'm saying is, you can't talk negative and lead a positive life. You can't talk defeat and expect to have victory. You can't talk lack, not enough, can't afford it, never get ahead, and expect to have abundance. If you have a poor mouth, you're going to live a poor life. If you don't like what you're seeing in your life right now, maybe you should start sowing some different seeds. Instead of saying, I'll never get well, Charu, this sickness has been in my family for 3 generations, plant the right seeds by saying, Krishna is restoring health back to me. This sickness didn't come to stay, it came to pass. I'm getting better and better every day. You keep sowing those positive seeds, and eventually, guess what? You'll eat the abundant fruit of health, wholesomeness, and victory. Instead of saying, oh, I'll never get out of debt, I'm stuck here, I'll never rise any higher, try, I will lend and not borrow. Whatever I touch prospers and succeeds. I'm coming into overflow, into more than enough. A highly recommended way of expressing not only that, but a lot more, is chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's sowing seeds of increase, sowing seeds of abundance. No more, I'll never accomplish my dreams. Instead, I have the favor of Krishna. Blessings are chasing me down. The right people are searching me out. New opportunities, new levels are in my future. If you keep talking like that, you'll reap a harvest of great things. The Bhagavad Gita, or the Song of God, talks about how with our tongue we can bless our life or we can curse our life. A lot of people don't realize that they're cursing their future with their words. Every time you say, I never get any good breaks, you just cursed your life. I'll never be able to afford that nice house, just cursed your life. I'll never be able to go on a mission, cursed. I'll never be able to start a temple, cursed. I'll never break this addiction, cursed your life. I'll never meet the right person, cursed your life. My suggestion to you today is don't curse your future. Sometimes the enemy, whose name is Maya, and whose job it is to keep us revolving within this cycle of birth, death, disease, and old age within this material world, she doesn't even have to lift a finger to defeat us. Why? Because we're doing a great job of defeating ourselves. Pay attention to what you're saying. Are you cursing your life or are you blessing it? When we speak, we're using a creative energy whose origin is divine. And therefore, to misuse, to abuse, or to take in vain this gift from above is to desecrate it, to commit a sin against the holy name. Here's another statement which may give you food for thought. There is a close relationship between the creative energy of speech and the creative force of sex. Those who indulge in obscene and vulgar talk will find themselves lapsing into sexual promiscuity, seemingly against their will. Indulgence in dirty, ugly, and profane speech makes for indecent behavior. Thus, the control and cleansing of one's speech is essential for raising the creative urge from the gross and animalistic upwards to the spiritual and sublime. One poet said, we shape ourselves the joys and fears of which the coming life is made and fill our future's atmosphere with sunshine or with shade. Now, my question to you is, Do you want to shape your future out of fear by talking at all defeated, negative, and profane? Or do you want to shape your future out of joy by chanting the holy names of the Lord? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Last January 1st, New Year's Day, about 3 weeks ago, the combined devotees in the Spanish Fort Temple, as well as the Salt Lake Temple, maybe about 100 total, we had a japathon. A japathon is a day where you set aside the first day of the year to see how many names of God you can chant. Devotees have beads, 108 beads, and they chant while fingering the beads. One mantra per bead. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Some of the devotees got up at 2:30 in the morning to start chanting, and they chanted all the way till midnight. The total number of rounds, there are 108 beads in a round, and therefore 108 recitations of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That makes 108 of those make one round. It takes about 6 to 8 minutes to chant a round. Totally, the devotees chanted 3,000 rounds on that day, a combined result of 5,400,000 names of God. What's my point? Do you think that those people who put God first place are going to have a 2016 of sunshine or shade? Do you think it's going to be a year of happiness or sorrow? Prosperity or scarcity? Again, in the Bhagavad Gita it says, actual speech is that which describes the qualities of the Lord. Real hands are those which work for the Lord. A true mind is that which always remembers Him, dwelling within everything moving and non-moving. Actual ears are those which listen to the sanctifying topics about Him. To put it in a different way, real speech is glorifying, honoring the name, form, pastimes, and paraphernalia of He from whom we come. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It said we are snared like an animal caught into a trap with our own words. Your words can trap you. What you say can cause you to stumble and keep you from fulfilling your potential. You're not snared by what you think. Negative thoughts come to us all, but when you speak them out loud, you give them life. That's when they become a reality. If you say, I'll never get back into shape, it becomes very difficult to get into shape. You just make it harder. When you say, I never get any good breaks, that stops the favor that has your name on it. If you say, I'm not that talented, I don't have a good personality, you're calling in mediocrity. You're setting limits for your life. When negative thoughts come, and they come to all of us, the key is never verbalize them. That thought will die stillborn if you do not speak it. Sometimes you'll feel like you're just about to burst with negativity. My suggestion is to learn the art of faking it till you make it. Keep a smile on your face. Keep being good to people, even when people aren't being good to you. No, instead of faking it till you make it, let's change that and say, faithing it until you make it. You may think, well, I'll never get that job. I'll never get well. I'll never meet the right person. Those thoughts come to all of us. You can't stop that. But our challenge is don't give these words life by speaking them out loud. Don't go call all your friends and end up telling them how it's not going to happen. Same thing. Don't go onto Facebook with all kinds of negative, dire predictions. And you guys, don't wolf whistle and make cat calls at the ladies, because you may actually end up next life with four legs and a fur coat. Tell yourself, I don't see a way, but Krishna has a way. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. Krishna supplied all of our needs. May look impossible from my current point of view, but with Him, all things are possible. No better than to curse your future. Don't get trapped by your words. In the tough times, when you have a lot of challenges, things look dark, you especially then have to be on your guard. It may be tempting to vent your frustration, tell people how the loan didn't go through, how bad the medical report was, or how certain people just didn't treat you right. When you continually talk about the problem, that's only going to make you more discouraged, and it gives that problem more life. It makes the problem bigger. Turn it around. Don't talk about the problem. Talk about your God. Instead of complaining, oh man, I got this big challenge, say, I serve a big God. He spoke worlds into existence. Nothing's too difficult for him. Instead of moaning, I didn't get the promotion that they promised, they passed me over again, declare, I know that when one door closes, that means God has something better. He's directing my steps. I'm excited about the bigger and better door that he's going to open for me in the future. Instead of concluding, I'll never meet the right person, it's been too long, I'm too old, say something good is going to happen to me, divine connections are coming my way. In life, there's always two voices competing for your attention, the voice of faith and the voice of defeat. The voice of faith says, it's not going to work out. Just settle where you are, accept it. Did you know that as much as 77% of everything we think is negative and counterproductive and tends to work against us? People who grow up in an average household hear no or are told what they cannot do an average of 148,000 times by the time they reach 18 years old. The result is unintentional negative programming. No wonder we're tempted to worry, to complain, and to be negative. But if in all of that you listen soberly and carefully, you'll hear another voice. It may not be as loud and as raucous as the other one. It may be quiet, cool, and calm, more objective. That's the voice of faith saying, God has a way. Favor is coming. Healing is coming. Breakthroughs are coming. One voice will point out that you've reached your limits. You've gone as far as you can. You don't have what it takes. But the other voice will tell you, you are well able. You are a spark of the Almighty Supreme Personality of Godhead. Your best days are still out in front of you. Here's the beauty. You get to choose what comes to life. The way you do it is by what you speak. When you verbalize that thought, you're giving it the right to come to pass. If you mope around saying, the problem's too big, I'll never get well, you're choosing the wrong voice. You have to get in agreement with God. The other voice may seem louder, but you can override it. You can take all power away by choosing the voice of faith. Maybe you're going to a job interview. And one voice warns you, you're not going to get it. You're wasting your time. Those people aren't going to like you. But another voice says, go ahead, give it a shot. You have the favor of God. Today's your lucky day. You're blessed. Be confident. You do have what it takes. If you get up in the morning and tell your wife, I don't think I'm going to get this job. They're not going to like me. I'm not qualified. Then there's no use in your going. You might as well just go back to bed. You're being trapped by your work. You have to dig your heels in and say, I'm not giving life to any more defeat. I'm not speaking lack. I'm not speaking sickness. I'm not speaking mediocrity, fear, doubt. I can't do it. I'm going to speak the voice of faith. The voice of faith says I'm strong, I'm healthy, I'm blessed, I'm favored, I'm a victor and not a victim. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the epic Bhagavad Gita, the song of God. But it starts out with the hero Arjuna verbalizing his doubts. Facing him are his teachers, his relatives, his cousins. They're fighting on the wrong side. So Arjuna starts to express his doubts. He says to Krishna, who is his chariot driver, better I'm killed by my relatives, unarmed and unresisting, rather than to live at the cost of the lives who are my superiors. And then Krishna immediately shuts him out. Krishna basically, in effect, says, if you can't say anything positive, if you can't bless your future, at least just zip it up, be quiet, and don't curse your future. First thing that Krishna did was to stop Arjuna's negative, bodily-based calculations. Why did Krishna do that? Because he knew that if Arjuna continued talking about his body and the extensions of his body, his friends, his relatives, his cousins, he couldn't help but become more depressed because his ruminations are in this body, which is flesh and bone and blood. So Krishna says, in effect, Arjuna, stop these ruminations. You may think it, but don't speak it out loud. Krishna predicted the future to Arjuna with his words, an entirely different future than what Arjuna was forecasting. Krishna says, victory is already yours by my arrangement. These miscreants are already finished in advance by my arrangement, and you, Arjuna, by getting an agreement with me, get to be an instrument in the fight. You're going to get all the credit for the victory. When we say Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, that's our way of transcending dull, dead, temporary matter, which is subject to birth, death, disease, and old age, and entering into the world of light, eternality, and bliss. I'm telling you tonight that Krishna, our God, has called each and every one of you to do something great. He's put dreams and desires on the inside. But it's easy to acquiesce, as Arjuna did, to look on the dark side, to consider everything in terms of this temporary body and not the soul, to say, I can't do that. Those are my bodily relationships. How can I fight them? I'm not meant to defeat them. I don't have the experience. I don't have the energy. Every one of us can come up with a million excuses. But God is saying to us what he said to Arjuna, stop saying that. If you can't be positive, at least be silent. Don't curse your future. Those negative, bodily-centered words will keep you from God's best. Here's a thought. Sometimes the reason that a promise is delayed is because of what you're saying. Imagine that your answer is on the way. Krishna has already dispatched your healing, your promotion, your vindication, your future wife, your future husband. They're right on the way. But just before it arrives, Krishna says to the potency, hold on, don't go any further, stay right where you are. And the potency says, why, Krishna? This is what you promised in the Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna answers, no, listen to what he's saying. Listen to what she's saying. He or she is talking about how it's not going to happen. How the problem is too big, how it's been too long, how he'll or she will never meet the right person. Those negative words have stopped the promises which are already heading your direction. I just wonder how many times we're just a couple of months away from seeing the answer, a couple of months away from meeting the right person, a couple of weeks away from that promotion. You've been praying for years that Krishna would bring somebody great into your life or something great into your life, but right before that, somebody shows up, you let your guard down, and you start saying, oh, it's not going to happen. I'm too old. Nobody's interested in me. Krishna has to say then to the potency, hold your horses. Don't go any further. Now, the good news is that he didn't take the promise off the table. He didn't negate it or cancel it. It's still in your future. But it's not going to resume its journey until you zip it up. Zip up the doubt and switch over into faith. At the right time, that will show up. Krishna will release what negative words have delayed. He still has your healing, your promotion, your restoration. Now do your part. Quit talking about how it's not going to happen. You may not see a way, but Krishna has a way. It may look impossible, but he can do the impossible. Just because you don't see anything happening doesn't mean that Krishna is not working right now behind the scenes, arranging things in your favor, lining up the right people, moving the wrong people out of the way, positioning you exactly where he wants you to be. Now, don't delay the promise by speaking negative words. Did you know that some colleges only accept 2% of the students that apply? That means, of course, that 98% of the applicants get turned down. Now, it would be easy to think, why do I even bother to apply to these schools? It's practically impossible to get in. More than 9 out of every 10 students get denied. If you're not careful, you can talk yourself out of it. You may think those thoughts, but don't make the mistake of verbalizing. If you're going to verbalize something, say this: Krishna or God, I know you're in complete control. You've already picked out the right college for me to attend. There may only be a 2% chance for some schools, but Krishna, I know that with you, there's a 100% chance that I will get in exactly where you want me to go. Krishna, you control the entire universe. What I'm saying is that instead of imprisoning yourself with negative words, the positive alternative is to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is said that those who chant will be saved. They'll be freed from the chains that bind them and hold them back. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 500 years ago, he said, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama. Nama is name, same as in English. And Hare means chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names. Three times, he positively asserts. And then he says, Nisteva, Nisteva, Nisteva. Three times he negatively asserts that in this age, there's no better alternative for self-realization, freedom, and stepping into the fullness of your destiny than chanting the holy names of the Lord. Three times he says, there's no better alternative, there's no better alternative, there's no better alternative. So all through the day, you need to ask yourself, is what I am about to say what I want to come into my life? Because what you're saying, you're inviting in. When you say, I'll never pay off my house or get out of debt, the economy is too slow, you just invited struggle and lack in. When you say, my career is dead end, this is as good as it gets, you're inviting defeat and mediocrity. How about sending out some new invitations? When you say, I will lend and not borrow, God's favor surrounds me like a shield. Whatever I touch prospers and succeeds, then you're inviting increase, good breaks, and success. When you say, I will overcome this problem, I am more than a conqueror, if God be for me, who be against me, then you're inviting strength, healing, restoration, vindication, and breakthrough. Our message today is pay attention to what you're saying. If you say, I'll never pass this algebra course, I've never been good in math, I just don't understand it, how about turning that around and using the same amount of energy to say, I can do all things through Krishna's holy names. I have good understanding. I'm full of wisdom. I'm potentially an A student. When you do that, you're inviting wisdom and an acceleration of knowledge. You're inviting Krishna's blessings. Make sure that you send out the right invitations. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna started verbalizing his doubts. Krishna basically right away jumped in there and told him, shut your mouth, boy, and start listening. Krishna reversed the outpouring of Arjuna's negative words and inputted the immortal words of the Bhagavad Gita. Those words dissipated Arjuna's confusion like the sun dissipates darkness with the sunrise. In the Bhagavad Gita, he promises that if you open your heart, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, he who is dwelling within your heart like the sun dissipates with the torchlight of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. After hearing from Krishna, Arjuna said, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Povritam Paramam Dharam, you are the Supreme Spirit, you are the Supreme Abode. I totally accept everything that you've told me as absolute truth, and I am now firmly fixed, free from doubt, and prepared to act according to your instructions. Concluding here, if instead of giving rise to negative, lusty thoughts and cursing your futures, let me offer you tonight the positive alternative of chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Right now, you may not initially feel confident. You may not initially feel equipped or prosperous or healthy or blessed. But if you start this process and get the Almighty Creator of millions and millions of universes dancing on the tip of your tongue, I predict that things will begin to turn in your favor. The odds will go from being against you to being for you. The winds of Krishna's grace will blow in your direction. You'll become full of peace, a joy, abundance, full of purposefulness, full of satisfaction in this life. And in the next life, you'll go back to home, back to God.